It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, you know, if you listen to our show very much, you know that we cover the gamut on the outdoors. We try to talk about everything. And as an old outdoor writer for the past 30 years, I don't consider myself an expert at hardly anything, but I do get to talk and learn about and write about a lot of interesting outdoor topics. Paddlefish. That's a topic that I know next to nothing about. I know a little bit about paddlefish. I know they're good to eat. I know you don't catch them on a baited hook. You have to snag them. I know it's legal up in Oklahoma, and it's a big-time sport. We have a guest today, never been with us, but I've talked to Lance a lot. Lance Lutke is his name. I have a little trouble pronouncing that last name, L-U-T-K-E. But anyway, Lance is standing by. He guides up on Grand Lake and Fort Gibson up in northeastern Oklahoma for paddlefish. And I think we'll all learn something talking with Mr. Lance today. Lance, thank you for being with us, buddy.
My pleasure.
I tell you what, I have eaten paddlefish one time. It's been years ago. And the guys that up in Oklahoma that cooked it, they said, you're going to have some of the best fish fillets you've ever had in your life. I remember how tasty it is. Tell us about how you go about putting a paddlefish in the boat, Lance. How do you get them?
Well, we use our electronics most of the time when they're fall and winter time when they're out in the middle of the lake. We use our electronics, and there's primarily three ways we go about snagging them. One way is to sit back and troll for them. That's probably the primary way in the winter time when our hands are cold. And we go after it. Now we have a covered boat and it's heated and everything. If they're stacked up real good, we'll slow down and we'll jerk for them. And then as they migrate up and they get in a little bit of shallow water up in the streams in the spring, we'll actually cast out and jerk for them.
Okay, so right now are they out in the out in the big lake or out in the big water?
Yeah, we're still out in the lake today.
Okay, and do they hang close to bottom?
Depends on the day. So, they honestly today they were in about 50 foot of water and they were 5 foot down all the way down the bottom.
Good gosh! I mean, you mean 5 foot from the surface? Run in huge schools then, right?
They do. Think of shad, and you'll think of spoonbill. They feed on plankton the same as spoonbill or paddlefish.
Yeah, so the size of these are going to be ranging from what to what, Lance? They get big, don't they?
Our average fish is going to be 35 to 40 pounds. That's our average fish.
Oh, man, yeah.
So they've been known to get up above 100 and 120 pounds.
Yep. So big, tight schools. That's otherwise you would never snag one, would you?
No. And electronics are definitely the key when we're fishing in the lakes.
And electronics are so sophisticated now. I can see how that would be key to finding them. And now, what kind of a rig are you going to use? Are you going to use some pretty heavy weight, and what kind of hook? Tell us about the terminal end of what you're using.
We usually use between 10 and 12 aught treble hooks. In Oklahoma, they cannot have a barb on them. So when you hook one, you have to keep the line tight and not let them have any slack because that hook just slides right out of there.
Well, I foul hooked big fish in my life. I call it foul hooking. That's what it is. Say sometimes when you actually fishing and you jerk to set the hook and you stick him in the tail or you hook him somewhere other than the mouth, that creates, I'd say, 50 times more drag in the water. Makes them, I can imagine a 20 or 40-pound paddlefish because he's going to be hooked in the back or something. He's not going to be hooked in the front, so you can turn his head toward you, or is he, as a rule?
You get one on the tail, you've got a fight on your hands.
Oh, man. I can only imagine. So these suspended fish, now, you'll just be trolling through at trolling speed, and then,
We use Dipsy divers. They were originally Great Lakes for trolling for deep salmon. We've kind of reverse engineered that, and we use it a little bit different for snagging. But that basically takes our hook down. We use line counter reels and use a little bit of math, and we're able to dictate how far down they go that way.
I got you. And a paddlefish, Lance, is one I've read is really a prehistoric fish, isn't it? I mean, he's been around a long time.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, so it's hard. I bet it's hard for all of us to wrap our minds around a school of fish that big with that many numbers in it, you know. But they are, we've learned this already, they are a schooling fish. And if they weren't, I guess it would be next to impossible to hook one, especially this time of the year, you know.
In the summertime, they spread out and they don't really hang out together. They're more alone in the summertime. So we don't target them until October. They start grouping back up, and then we go all the way to the end of April.
Now, these, say, for instance, the last school that you were recently on, will that school stay in a particular area for a while? Or say you go back the next day and you want to find that one school, do you have to, is he going to be, or is that school going to be fairly close, or would you just have to start looking anew, you know, for them again?
That depends entirely on the day. They'll stay in one spot for a week, and then you'll find them, you know, 5-10 miles away. And sometimes we don't know why they move. Sometimes it's a weather change or current driven.
Yeah, you just...
If we get a good rain, sometimes they'll migrate up or down, just depending on the situation.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about... I doubt it's not the type of fish that somebody would jump in their boat probably and say, hey, I'm going to go to Grand Lake or Fort Gibson and I'm going to catch, you know, maybe there are people that do that, but it is definitely a specialized form of fishing, for sure. I mean, I would think it would be best to get with somebody that, like yourself, that knows what they're doing. Now, let's say you've I saw, actually on Facebook, folks, is where I saw the pictures of Lance's most recent trip. You guys had a bunch of big fish there, didn't you?
We have. We've stayed on some good schools the past few weeks, and it's been very consistent on big fish, anywhere in that 50 to 60 pound range.
Wow. Now, sure. Let's say...
A whole lot of fun.
Oh, boy, yes. Uh-huh. Now, to get a license, is a person allowed, what, one a day, or what's the limit?
Yes. So you can keep one a day and two a year max. You can catch and release all you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Mondays and Fridays, the state has made catch and release only.
Mondays,
you can go play, you just can't keep them.
Mondays and Fridays, you can enjoy catching them, but you have to... Now, how many of your clients are tuned in to how good that they eat, that how good a food fish? Most of them?
And the majority of them are. Okay. We have some that just don't eat fish in general.
Yes.
So right. they book the Mondays and Fridays the most just because they can go out and have a ball and enjoy catching.
They're just after the thrill of catching them. Well, let's talk about if you deal with me very much, Lance, I'm an old outdoor writer, but I've been hunting and fishing all my life, and to me, a successful fishing trip usually equates to a fish fry or blackened fish. A paddlefish, what's your favorite way to eat them? I mean, is there a special way to prepare them that you like?
I would say cast iron skillet over a campfire and some butter and blackened seasoning is probably my favorite.
Oh, man, I fish up in Saskatchewan, and I just did a newspaper article on that. Last June, we're going back this June, not blacken so much, but just put some butter in that cast iron skillet, blacken and seasoning, and just kind of saute them, if you will, you know.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to do the blackening per se, but so now say you've got one to actually, do you skin them, or I guess they're not a scale fish, are they? Or
no,
are they?
In fact, there's no, past their head, there's no bone in their body. It's they're a very unique fish. So we bleed them out. That way you have a good, nice white fillet, and we fillet them and cut all the any meat and trim them up. So have them ready for you to cook.
Yeah, man, that's, well, one of these times I'm going to make a jaunt up there. That's a fish that you don't really read a lot about. I write for Fur Fish and Game, and Texas Wildlife, a lot of different tracks, different magazines, but you don't read a whole lot about them. I don't know. It's not like nobody knows about them, but I guess because they're not as widespread in some river systems is maybe the reason. But do you actually skin them like a catfish?
No, I just fillet them.
Fillet them.
And then cut the fillet off the skin.
Awesome. Well, it intrigues me, and I bet a lot of the folks listening to us knows about paddlefish, or probably know about what I know about them. You know, they're excellent eating. The fillets are white meated, more or less, right?
Yes, uh-huh. Yes, and they have a more dense, meaty texture. If you've ever had a swordfish or some of the saltwater fish, that is much more their texture than what we're. They're not like a crappie.
Right. Not a delicate, flaky fish. They're more
right.
more of a meaty.
Yeah, they're
fish.
More hardy, meaty fish.
Well, I tell you what, Lance, let's do this. Invite people on Facebook to see what you've got going on, and then a website or whatever. It intrigues me, and I think a lot of our listeners will be interested in it, too. It's not from the Red River, Texas-Oklahoma border. You can be up to Grand Lake, probably, from the borderline there, maybe four and a half hours, something like that. So it's not that far. Imagine you guys have places to stay, you know, motels or whatnot when people come up from Texas, right?
We do. Yep. We do have a variety of different cabins and hotels around the area.
Yep.
And lots of places to stay.
Excellent. Let's do that. Hook everybody up with you on Facebook and then maybe a phone number or website or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, you can find us, Lance's Guide Service, on Facebook and Instagram. You can reach us at www.lancesguideservice.com for a website, and you can call or text 918-607-7357.
Lance, thanks a lot. Stay on the line with me here. We're going to like to visit with you a little bit more, but we'll get you back here maybe when the paddlefish go into a different program, a different pattern, and let you explain that. How about it?
Sounds great.
Well, folks, I thoroughly enjoyed our little visit with Lance this morning. You know, paddlefish are, a lot of people refer to them as a prehistoric fish. They eat plankton, like Lance pointed out, and actually they're some of the best eating in fresh water, I have been told. Years ago, I had a little sample of paddlefish, but it's been so long ago, I remember it being good. But a lot of my friends have eaten it. They go up into Oklahoma where you can legally snag paddlefish. Here in Texas, you cannot. So you want to make sure if you target paddlefish, make sure and check the regulations out thoroughly, because, you know, a lot of places they are still protected. But I'm planning a trip up there with Lance. I don't have the exact dates rounded up, but sure would like to get up there. I think it'd be an interesting trip fishing for something, a species that's totally new to me. And the steaks off those things, or the fillets, if you will, I've had a lot of people refer to them as tasting just like swordfish. And if you've ever had swordfish, I guarantee you'll remember the flavor. They're really, really good. More like a steak, actually. Well, folks, that's kind of wrapping our show up today. I will remind everybody, turkey season's coming up. Spring turkey season's not very far away, a few weeks, so it's time to get the old box call and the slate call, maybe a diaphragm call. Start honing up on your turkey calling skills, because it'll be turkey seasons will be up on us before we know it. Be safe in the outdoors this week, folks, and I look forward to joining you here next week at the same time. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Texas Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.